Justin Mikulka is an investigative journalist for DSmog Blog, an independent news and research organization that focuses on energy and climate issues. He recently published an article titled Bleak Financial Outlook for U.S. Fracking Industry. The article examines an industry where capital expenditures are vastly overtaking revenues, investors are showing signs of doubt, and Sweet Spot, also known as Tier 1 acreage, is running out by the day. I spoke with Justin for more on what these realities mean for oil and gas-dependent economies.
So if you don't really dig into it, it seems like obviously the U.S. is currently producing record amounts of oil and gas. One would assume that, you know, they're operating businesses in a free market, that they're making money doing that. But they haven't been. They've been borrowing and using investors' money to continue to drill new wells to keep the production going. But they haven't been able to generate enough free cash flow. They're borrowing more and spending more than they're making.
Is this across the country, or are there notable exceptions to this that you're aware of?
No, it's definitely across the country. Certainly, there are some companies that have had profitable quarters now and again, but all of these companies also are amassing huge amounts of debt. And so as an industry across the board, pretty much financially, the numbers haven't worked yet. And so that's why it seems like there's been a change in thinking from the investment community. You certainly see it in the stock prices of all these companies, that people are kind of saying, well, the shale revolution has been great at producing oil and gas, but it's been a disaster for investors.
So I'm just curious what your thoughts are on the media's portrayal of this industry versus the actual numbers.
Well, there's no question that in areas of the country like yours, you know, certainly in Texas and North Dakota, that there's been a financial boom. I mean, if you're in one of those local communities, there are high-paying jobs. Certainly the real estate markets have gone crazy. But, you know, it's important to understand that the fracking industry has spent $250 billion more than they've made in the last decade by most estimates. So they're not making money, but they spent that $250 billion. So that is going into those communities. It's going to other companies who provide services. So certainly there's been a huge amount of money pumped into a lot of these areas of the country. So in that aspect, the boom is real. The question is, as for local economies, is how sustainable is this? How long is this going to go on? Are you investing in infrastructure to support it that you're going to be paying for 30 years from now when it's, you know, when it's long gone?
There are all these areas that are sort of pristine wilderness areas, or perhaps they're even just too close to residences, but there's sort of this strong push to develop these areas for oil and gas. Do you think that maybe that's potentially because they are running out of this tier one acreage and now they're pushing towards these places that typically most people would be opposed to them drilling in?
I definitely think that you're seeing these companies who have built up massive debts borrowing to keep drilling. They're trying to keep investors happy right now. So every company wants a press release right now saying, we have this really promising new acreage. You know, we've drilled some test wells, looks great. And, you know, give us more money so we can go develop it.
But it sounds like even if they are able to develop those areas, it's only a matter of time before they run out there. And even though they have had the tier one acreage up to this point, it hasn't actually been a sustainable business model, even though it seems like it would be.
Right. They're kind of kicking the can down the road if you're, you know, and the other thing going on in the industry right now is a lot of these companies, the business model was start up a company, show that you're able to produce oil, and then sell to, you know, hopefully sell to Exxon.
Mm-hmm.
And so the investors get rich, the executives get rich. You didn't want to own the company for very long. You wanted to flip it to someone else and let them deal with it.
Well, so it sounds like the impacts, the long-term negative impacts are on the people who work in the oil and gas industry, who are, they do have these high-paying jobs, but once everything kind of levels off, they're not going to be seeing that income anymore, as well as the environmental devastation, which also affects the local community. And you mentioned the cleanup costs.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, another thing about the industry that doesn't get much coverage is the industry is moving to automate. The oil industry loves to talk about job creation and how, you know, that's why there's always support for a lot of these projects.
Yep.
But at the same time, they're looking at how can they cut costs to try to make this profitable. and robots are cheaper than humans. So as a long-term in Colorado, do you have a brighter future if you're going to be in, working in the wind industry or the solar industry or the oil industry? I think wind and solar have a much brighter future for long-term employment than oil and gas.
Once again, that was Justin Mikulka for DSmog Blog. The article was titled "Bleak Financial Outlook for U.S. Fracking Industry." For KDNK, I'm Lucas Turner.